Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. It is Thursday, October 14th. We'll get an update on the fire burning near Santa Barbara, as well as the oil spill. Good news coming out this hour with regard to the oil spill, that the amount is believed to be about 25,000 gallons, which is great. That was the very low end of the estimate.
Some update about Gabby Petito and that story. Apparently her family has gone to Wyoming to bring back her remains to New York for proper burial or whatever memorial they do for them.
I think they cremated her and brought back the ashes.
Yeah. And again, no real news about Brian Laundrie or his whereabouts, although my understanding is that John Walsh is expected to give his opinion about where Brian Laundrie. And listen, I love the idea that John Walsh is involved. I love that Dog the Bounty Hunter was involved. I love the fact that there's publicity surrounding
this. But it seems to be a little self-serving, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
That, I think, is the weirdest, I don't know, the weirdest aspect of this.
Well, remember that self-shredding piece of art from Banksy, the British artist? It sold for $1.4 million, and then it shredded itself.
Halfway.
It just sold again for $25.4 million at auction.
Listen, I've dabbled in investing. I have never been able to do, a 2,500 percent return on something? Come on. That's
insane, right? The pre-sale estimate was $5.5 million to $8.2 million, and it went for $25.4 million. Incredible.
I was mentioning, I'll be on Kennedy tonight on the Fox Business Network. It's at 4 o'clock now. 4 o'clock Pacific time is when they air it live. So that will give me plenty of time to record the show and be off in time for 6:07 first pitch Dodgers Giants in San Francisco tonight for Game 5. This is winner go home.
Well, this shocked no one. I actually tuned into John and Ken as this was breaking yesterday, and John sounded giddy with glee. LA City Councilman Mark Ridley Thomas, crooked, but you couldn't prove it until now, was indicted yesterday on federal charges. He took bribes from a USC dean in exchange for directing millions of dollars in public funding and county contracts to USC when he was on the LA County Board of Supervisors. He's accused of conspiring with Marilyn Flynn, who at the time was the dean of USC's School of Social Work, to steer county money to the university in return for admitting his son Sebastian into the graduate school with a full tuition scholarship and a paid professorship.
That's a good deal.
It's a violation of USC policy is what it is.
What? That can't be.
Yes.
Now, this all came soon after the younger Ridley Thomas, Sebastian Ridley Thomas, was serving in the state assembly in Sacramento and was the subject of an investigation into sexual harassment. Now, he left the assembly and cited health reasons as the reason that he was going to step down from his seat in the state assembly.
Yeah, there was an assembly investigation released yesterday, and it looks like he made unwanted sexual advances towards a female Capitol staffer 2 years ago. It was going to surface, so he got the hell out of Dodge. The indictment details how Mark Ridley Thomas misused his power as a supervisor in 2017 and 2018 to steer county contracts to USC in return for those payments to his son. Apparently, Sebastian Ridley Thomas, the son, he's now 34 years old, was tens of thousands of dollars in debt at the time. In December, he resigns as a state assemblyman. He cited health problems, but as we just detailed, it was sex assault or unfair sexual advances. He was under investigation at the time, yes, for allegations of sexual harassment. So Mark Ridley Thomas first approaches the dean of this social work school at USC in May 2017. He tells her that his son was interested in getting a postgraduate degree at USC. Told another university employee by email that she would open every door for Mark Ridley Thomas's son, according to the indictment. A few weeks later, she told colleagues she was going to dinner with Mark Ridley Thomas and that there were significant amounts of county funds available to USC, that he had lots of discretionary money and that could give them $1 million each year for 3 years. And she said that she and another USC official were going to help the supervisor's son get a master's degree at the social work and public policy schools on full scholarship in exchange for the county funds. What an idiot. I mean, she's 83 years old now, but like, why would you put all of this in writing or even say it out loud if this is what you were doing?
Well, you know, what's interesting is you go through the indictment and they try very clearly, they try to hide the actual purpose of their emails and messages back and forth to each other. The federal indictment is very specific in terms of it's methodical in the way that it lays out its charges against these people. And that's the way all of these federal indictments are, because you want it to be airtight when you take it to court. But they do things like Overt Act Number 40, February of 2018, Mark Ridley Thomas responded via email to a relative about the paid professorship with thumbs up and winking face emojis. And of course, because that's what we do now, it includes the thumbs up and the winking face emoji.
Of course, this is just the latest black eye for USC. Remember, they just had that record-breaking settlement because they had a gynecologist on their payroll for decades that was molesting students, mostly foreign students that had no idea how the exams would work. You had Carmen Hot Rails Pugliafito, who got caught with meth and hot rails at a hotel in Pasadena. You also had the college bribery scandal, where USC was the center of that. So I don't know what USC did to the LA Times, but it is relentless in going after them with these investigations, and they do a great job. Steve Gregory also does a great job, and he will drill down on some of these details when we come back.
Gary and Shannon will continue. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, not to make everybody freak out, but the Dodgers announced a short time ago that Corey Knebel will start the game tonight.
People aren't freaking out. Dodger fans love this move. They say it makes sense because the Giants were going to want to stack their lineup if Urias started. So it prevents them from stocking the lineup with the right-handed hitter guys.
Yeah, and then...
I love Dave Roberts and the decisions he makes. I really do. Like... right in the hot hand.
David, mark that 11-19. We'll
and
see
playing
if we need
Gavin
that tomorrow.
Gavin Lux in center because he was hitting, even though he has no business being in center. Like he's made some good moves this series. That's all I'm saying.
How come he hasn't come on and talked about his wine?
We have had him on to talk about his wine.
No, we were gonna, but I don't think we ever actually had him on.
I think we did. I'm pretty
was
sure
I here?
We did. Yeah.
Did I work with you at the time?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. We'll have to go back through our
files.
Yeah.
Our archives.
Our archives.
Well, we're talking about Mark Ridley Thomas, the now LA City Councilman, in trouble with the feds for his fraudery. when he was on the Board of Supervisors. Steve Gregory.
I love that.
Me too.
That's a great word. Fraudery. you are guilty of felony fraudery.
Yes. One of my favorite things about this indictment, Steve, is the fact that they went so far, USC did, is to come up with a fake curriculum for his son, Sebastian.
Right? I mean, it was interesting because this graduate program that he was supposed to go through is an in-person course. You're supposed to be in class every day. And the USC official that you named earlier, she told another person on the campus, you have to take this curriculum and completely redesign it so this guy doesn't have to ever come into class. He does it all online. I mean, and now what I'm curious is if they went through all the work to do that. Now I wonder if the course is actually available online to everybody now. But yeah, that's just one of the things. And in the indictment, I know you guys have been looking at it. One of the other things that caught my attention is the expeditious nature of this. When the USC dean of the social work school was telling her people to get this through quickly, it was top priority. Make sure this happens fast, that we get him into the school on a full ride scholarship. This is Ridley Thomas's son. And to make sure that, you know, we get everything handled. Let's get this done. I mean, it was interesting how quickly the wheels can turn if you've got the right people behind the crank, you know? The other thing that is interesting about this, too, is the fact that people haven't been talking about the money laundering in the nonprofit that Mark Ridley Thomas was associated with and wanted his son, Sebastian, to run. And in order for Sebastian to get paid and get money into that nonprofit, part of the deal in this, too, the schematic, according to the indictment, is that Ridley Thomas's campaign would give money to USC, and then USC would give money to the nonprofit. And that was the nonprofit that Sebastian was also running. So he was actually getting paid by this nonprofit. He was getting paid by his dad's campaign. So that's also in the indictment. Here's the thing that strikes me. So this is the third LA city councilman now. And that's, Englander's in prison. Huizar is about to go to trial. And now you've got Ridley Thomas. Now, Ridley Thomas was a county supervisor at the time. But you guys know as well as I do that there had to be other knowledge of what he was doing. Yeah. There's no way this was a singular, in a silo situation. Because in the indictment, it also specifies that part of Ridley Thomas's role in this scheme was to pressure other county supervisors into giving favorable treatment to USC in the form of partnerships, in the form of county money, discretionary money, contracts. So other county supervisors, and you guys know, and Shannon, from the legal standpoint of this, we don't know that there's not another investigation going on right now as we speak against another elected official, and that we won't know for another year or so.
Those supervisors have too much power. It's really a fiefdom there, and I don't think any of them are clean. And, you've covered Mark Ridley Thomas for years, and there have been rumors that swirl around him mm-hmm. that he's crooked, but this, for the first time, lays it all out. City Councilman Joe Buscaino said that these charges tarnished the reputation of the entire L.A. City Council. And to that I say, like you pointed out, Steve, that ship has sailed. We've got three of them now with charges filed against him.
And don't forget, there's actually another one in the background that still might be tied to the Huizar investigation. So you've got a possible fourth council person also being investigated. They were named sort of, under the radar in the last indictment against Huizar. So that's very possible another LA City Council member might be in trouble. Now, what's going to happen when Ridley Thomas actually sits down and across the table from federal prosecutors? We're not talking city attorney anymore. We're not talking about Gascon. We're talking about the feds, and they don't mess around. So presumably, will Ridley Thomas roll over on other information? Will he take his lumps? Will he fight it all the way? It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. The other interesting thing to watch, too, is that I guess his arraignment's coming up here in a few weeks. Who he retains as an attorney, and the feds, usually when they've got this much information, they probably have a pretty ironclad case.
Why do you think Sebastian Ridley Thomas was not charged with anything?
Well, we don't know that he won't be. The thing is that this might be just the straw on the camel's back, per se. We don't know that Sebastian isn't being interviewed, and we don't know that dad might be taking the fall for the son. We don't know any of that right now. It's all speculation. But as you look at the indictment, really, what would he be guilty of? He was just the benefactor of all of this stuff. He wasn't the one doing it.
He was like Aunt Becky's kids. They were just going along with what the parents said.
Yeah.
So, he was just getting the money was just getting deposited in his account. He was next thing you know, he showed up. He has a parking pass at USC as a professor. So, I mean, he was just the benefactor. He wasn't the conspirator.
I would just imagine. Well, to my point, I think if he did know about it, then he could be, I guess, subject to conspiracy charges. But you're right. Maybe that is coming. Maybe that's in the future.
Well, and then given his history, he may have rolled over on dad.
Yeah.
That'd be a prosecution good Thanksgiving witness. Dinner.
But you guys know as well as I do, this isn't over. I mean, if it took this long, and if you guys think back, remember that controversy that Ridley Thomas had with his discretionary funds?
With the furniture.
With the furniture in his office?
Yeah.
And I am paraphrasing, but do you remember his response when he was asked about the exorbitant amount of money he spent on his office? Do you remember his response?
It was arrogant. It was...
Our days of being in the back of the bus are over.
Yeah.
It was, that, and I'm paraphrasing.
Like it was a racism thing.
Yeah. Right? And he said, our days of being in the back of the bus are over. And I remember that because that was the cut that played for days. But I do remember that what was like gold-plated stuff. His furniture was imported, and he spent a ton of money. And in this indictment, there is language in there that suggests that he was going to be giving $1 million each year for 3 years to the USC endowment from his discretionary funds, taxpayer dollars.
Why do they have those discretionary funds? I know sometimes they go to things like, you know, starting a garden in an underfunded area of their district.
That's exactly what it's for.
But that the amount of money in those funds, I remember John and Ken losing their minds about it back when this story broke. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. It's almost obvious that their special interest money that gets to be floated to different places for political gain.
I just got an interesting text from a former member of law enforcement that suggested that the LA City Council will probably have their own cell block in the prison system.
Yeah.
They're going to have their own wing.
They can hold fake meetings with each other.
They can have fake meetings. But, this is the thing. The discretionary funds has always been that quagmire. Where, you know, they've got the money, they're supposed to invest it in their district. Yeah. That's what they're supposed to do with it. And it cuts through the red tape because they, in essence, have a checkbook. And they're like, oh, okay, you need a new light over the basketball court because they need a light there for the kids at night. Yeah, I can give you $15,000 for a new light.
Right.
That's what that's for. Not for gold-plated furniture.
Well, have you ever had gold-plated furniture? It's pretty nice.
I don't make the money you do, Gary.
No, I don't have any either. Trust me.
Remember
you just said it was nice. No, I presume that you know, and I don't.
I've caressed it with my bum, but I have never actually owned it.
Do you guys remember in 2014, too, he got in trouble because he was having work performed at his home. Like, he had his garage remodeled mm-hmm. into a home office or whatever, but it was more than that, and he was using taxpayer dollars to do it.
If you were to peel back the layers of this, I think people would be even more disgusted to find out what these discretionary funds are actually spent on. Now, I put in a records request last summer for the discretionary funds log from all five supervisors during the peak of the pandemic, because I wanted to know, if you might recall, we talked about on your show how their money was being spent at a time when they would not take a pay cut. They refused to talk about a pay cut, and they kept burying it. So I put a records request in, and I had only heard back from two of the five supervisors, and they gave me their list. It was Hahn and Barger were the only two that gave me the copies of their discretionary funds for that two-month period or three-month period I asked for. The other three would refuse to give me their copies. And I always thought that was interesting. You know, why aren't they telling us what they're spending their money on?
Right.
I just feel like, Steve, I would give you whatever you asked for.
Whoa.
As you should.
I mean, if documentation, if that's what he's asking for. Yeah, not like a back rub or anything.
Well, the thing is I don't think anyone was surprised by all of this.
No.
I don't think there was a big surprise other than you should have seen the look on John Cobalt's face when I walked into the studio and said, I held it up. I said, Ridley Thomas just got indicted. And he goes, and the look on John's face, he went, what? What?
I could hear the glee in his voice listening
Santa!
Yesterday.
Oh, my God. And he got so excited. He was like a little kid. He was like, what? What? And it was interesting. And and then that's when I went in. I was literally reading the indictment on the air because I was reading it for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. But it'll be a great case.
Steve, thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye, guys. Take care.
All right. Coming up next, an update on the fire up near Santa Barbara and the oil spill in Orange County. Some good news on that front. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. The union representing LA County deputy DAs has filed a legal action to prevent what they say is the hiring of unqualified people, including some from the public defender's office. The Association of Deputy District Attorneys is suing DA George Gascon, alleging veteran prosecutors have been passed over as he has illegally hired public defenders who have neither taken nor passed the exams required by civil service rules. He's taking people that helped him with his campaign and putting them in high-level posts inside the DA's office that they have no business being in.
What could go wrong? I mean,
it's not like they're doing anything there.
They're not busy or anything. Other stories that we have been following. Robert Durst will be sentenced today. He's going to be getting mandatory term life in prison without parole for the murder of Susan Berman. We knew that. Health advisors debating today whether or not the people who got Moderna vaccinations should be getting a booster shot. This time it would be using half the original dose. Already certain high-risk groups who got their Pfizer vaccines 6 months ago rolling up their sleeves. They're also talking about the potential for boosters for Johnson & Johnson, and the final decisions on those issues are expected sometime next week.
Cher is suing to get royalties she claims are being illegally withheld from Mary Bono, the fourth wife and widow of Sonny Bono. Mary Bono is pocketing the royalties from I Got You, Babe, and The Beat Goes On. Of course, Sonny and Cher divorced in 75, agreed to split the revenue of their songs, but in recent years, Mary Bono apparently has undone Cher's ownership of those rights.
I know that. Well, we've been seeing some smoke in areas around L.A. County from the... Jacob, tell me again how we say this. It's not a leasehold. That's what we were saying, and it was...
Alisol fire.
The Alisol fire that's burning up in Santa Barbara County. We're up over 15,000 acres, well over 15,000 acres. In fact, close to 17,000 acres as this wind has thankfully been dying down. The smoky conditions are expected along the southern Santa Barbara coast. And to be honest, unless you're stopping in Santa Barbara, there's no reason to go up there because 101 is still shut down as you get up through Goleta into the Gaviota area.
They were able to, like you said, when the winds died down, send up aircraft to dump retardant on that 15,000-acre monster. Been burning since Monday in the mountains there east of Santa Barbara. It got pretty close from Ronald Reagan's ranch.
Yeah.
The ranch where he hosted the Queen Elizabeth, Gorbachev. Fire is only 5% contained. They say this area has not burned since the 1950s. So you can imagine all the fuel that is just ripe for demolition.
The very hilarious Twitter account California Disasters put out a map that showed burn scars from areas above in the hills above and just west of Santa Barbara. And you can see, I mean, since basically 2008, the Gap fire combined with the Sherpa fire in 16, the Whittier fire in 17, basically every square inch of mountain and hill around Santa Barbara has burned at some point in the last 15 years or so. But that this is still seeing some problems and it's not out yet. Like you said, 5% containment.
The news out of Orange County is pretty good when it comes to the oil spill. A Coast Guard official saying this morning that the amount of crude oil spilled in that offshore pipeline leak is believed to be close to about 25,000 gallons. The worst case scenario for the leak was previously determined to be at least about 25,000 gallons and no more than 132,000 gallons. So Coast Guard Captain Rebecca Orr said today the final count for the spill will likely be closer to the lower figure, which correlates with the amount of oiling seen on the shore there.
One of the things that's going to happen in Congress is they are going to be talking about specifically oil and gas extraction laws, but obviously this is going to be the newest, most interesting piece of information that they're talking about, the House Natural Resources Committee. But they're going to be considering a couple of bills put forward by Democrats. One would mandate more pipeline inspections and leak detectors. Another would require public reporting when safety equipment fails on pipelines. So we'll keep an eye and an ear on whatever comes out of Congress in the context of that spill.
Coming up next, the winner of tonight's game will go on to the NLCS. Dodgers, Giants, Game 5. We knew it was going to come down to this. Also, Gruden's problems continue.
Gary and Shannon. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Our small business shout out coming up next hour. S'morology.
S'morology. That sounds like s'mores.
That sounds like someone's going to get all sticky.
Sometimes we have s'more night during the fall where we just use the fireplace.
I didn't even know you had a fireplace.
I have two fireplaces.
Really?
Yeah.
How come I've never seen them?
Well, you're usually inebriated when you're over at the house.
That's not true. I usually get inebriated.
Right.
There's moments where I do remember.
A fireplace in the kitchen.
Oh, that's right.
And then there's one in the other room.
Oh, I didn't know that. Like where the TV is?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, what do you know? Now I know where to start the fire.
Oh, no. George Bailey keeps rearing his ugly head, doesn't he? The more adult theater practices we go to, the more you break into George in the middle of the show.
What's your point, Mr. Potter?
I'm just tired of Zuzu's petals.
I only said it one time.
Three times I've heard about Zuzu's petals.
We'll get into Swamp Watch at 12:30. More on what the president was talking about when it comes to COVID vaccines earlier today. Strange Science is coming along in the 1 o'clock hour. Man.
Before we get to Game 5 and all of the excitement, John Gruden has said he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. Of course, the Raiders let him go after emails from 2011 went after a lot of groups, shall we say. He went after the head of the Players Association's lips and the size of said lips. He went after women officiating crews. He went after gay people.
Players,
yeah. And he says he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. But then we started looking into his 15-year track record. No young black assistants in his coaching tree. Willie Shaw is the only black person Gruden's ever retained as a coordinator. And Shaw only lasted a couple of seasons. Let's see here. He's never developed a black quarterback. Sean King, a Tony Dungy era holdover who led Tampa to the playoffs in his second year in the NFL, was doomed when Gruden stuck with over-the-hill Brad Johnson. In Oakland, he famously bypassed Colin Kaepernick to sign Nathan Peterman, who may be the worst quarterback of all time. He cut Marquette King, who was one of the few black punters in NFL history. And a solid special teams contributor there for no reason other than being too outspoken and outgoing for his position. He found space on his roster for Richie Incognito, of course, a confirmed bully who was suspended for bullying his former Dolphins teammate with racial slurs. It just doesn't look good. Yesterday, the internet exploded when Brandon Staley, the Chargers head coach, was asked about what went on with John Gruden. And this is why Brandon Staley is garnering so much respect, not just within the Chargers organization, but across the league.
You know, I think that respect and trust in this world are really, really difficult to achieve. And I think about all the people that were affected by those emails. Whether you're a person of color, whether you're a person, a gender, your sexual orientation, the people that were affected by those emails, that's who I'm thinking about, you know, because it's a sacred mantle for someone to call you coach or someone to call you a leader. And trust is really, really hard to achieve in this world. It's really, really challenging to achieve. And especially with people with those groups that I just mentioned. All right. And people are really guarded. All right. And they're skeptical of people because of emails like that. And I just think that, you know, kindness and lifting people up and respecting people you don't know. I just think that, you know, that's such a big part of our thing here is listening to people and learning about people, because I think what you'll discover is that we have so much more in common than not. And I think that, for someone like me, you know, it's just incumbent upon you to set the example every single day so that people that were, you know, talked about in those emails, that they don't need to feel that way. They shouldn't feel that way. And it's, you know, hopefully, you know, all of us can learn from this, that it's about bringing people together for me so that people can become, you know, the people that they dream about. And I think that, for me, leading this football team and being someone, hopefully we can, you know, be a light for those people in those emails, that not everybody's like that, that there's far more people that will love you than the opposite. And hopefully this will be a chance for everybody to come together instead of go apart.
That was not Ted Lasso. That was Brandon Staley. But I mean, what a great response and what a great attitude and what a great mindset on that guy.
The Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr, when he's not in a goth convention, suggested that all communication from front office personnel.
Aww, bless your heart, Derek.
And coaches be made available. He said, if we just started opening up everybody's private emails and texts, people will start sweating a little bit. Hopefully not too many, but maybe that's what we should do for all the coaches and GMs and owners from now on. You got to open up everything and see what happens.
Well, everyone was real excited when it was assumed that Julio Urias would be on the mound to start game five for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers said, nope, we're going to have an opener for this one.
Yeah, they didn't put it that way, but the Dodgers Twitter account said that Corey Knebel is going to be the one who starts the game, and it's to try to prevent what, even though Urias won game two, the Giants were able to stack a bunch of right-handers at the top of their order, in their order in game two, and they want to prevent that. The Dodgers want to prevent that and hope that if Corey Knebel starts, then you've got a bunch of lefties in there, and then that would give Urias the advantage when he does come in.
Isn't that crazy, though? I mean, it makes sense. The move makes sense. It just seems like it's very last minute.
I don't think so at all. Listen, you know that Julio Urias is going to pitch in the game.
Right.
You just tell him, hey, prepare like you would normally.
Yeah.
You're just going to be delayed by about 45 minutes. That's all. That's it. We're going to get Knebel in there for an inning, maybe two, and see how everything goes. And then Urias comes in and eats up 5, 6, 7 innings or whatever the plan is. I don't know.
He actually has reverse splits this year. Righties are hitting better than lefties against him.
Knebel or Urias?
Knebel.
See, that... Don't tell everybody that.
Oh, sorry. It's just a fact.
It's one of those things that what if it works, Dave Roberts looks like a genius.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If it doesn't work, people are
right.
Like, why would Dave Roberts...
Yeah.
Give the ball to him.
It's like 4th and 9.
That's an excellent point. This is and because it is such a last minute thing, 5 hours before, 6 hours before first pitch, does it work out? Who knows? We'll see.
Corey Knebel's nickname is Bird Dog. I don't know if you know that, but now you do. And that's why you come to this show, because you learn something every day. You woke up this morning, you didn't know Corey Knebel's nickname was Bird Dog.
No,
and
but
now
it would have been in my top five.
Now you do.
Of guesses. If you were to ask me what is his nickname.
Really?
Yeah. 6:07 first pitch in that game, and don't bother calling.
Do you want me to come over and
nope.
We could watch it together? Doesn't
no.
that sound like fun? No?
Well,
that was a pretty hard no.
Well, because I think you would be like, can we also flip between that and the football game, Tampa Bay playing Philadelphia?
Yeah.
I'll be like, nah, I really don't want to.
Okay, that's a fair answer.
And then at about, 6:30, you'd be like, you know what? If I'm not going to be able to watch football also, I'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then you go down the hill like the Chili's restaurant or something like
Probably.
That.
Probably. That sounds on brand.
They would welcome you.
All right, we'll talk trending when we come back to Gary and Shannon.